I'm just going to move this out of my way here. Brad, it'll be somewhere in that general vicinity. That's the story, right? Most of us probably know it. We've heard it. I want to focus on one line that we heard there. And that is, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's what I want us to kind of focus and meditate just a little bit on tonight. It helps to remember the Peanuts cartoon. You guys, I know everybody in here has seen that cartoon, right? It's in the Peanuts cartoon, you know, the one with the bad Christmas tree, cheesy Christmas tree, and the Charlie Brown. It's in there that Charlie Brown gets overwhelmed a little bit. He's overwhelmed with all the pageantry and the presents and mainly the tree situation, and he cries out at one point, "Will somebody please tell me what Christmas is all about?" He's kind of freaking out. Some of us can relate to that, probably. Here it is, Christmas Eve, and I know somebody here has probably got to run to Target, and you're like, come on. We can relate to that a little bit. And it's there, and it's in that scene where Linus, you might remember, he drops his blanket and he recites that story from Luke 2 about the one that is coming. Now, that's one struggle, right? As great as that is, it's still a kid's cartoon, and it probably doesn't talk a whole, well, it doesn't. It doesn't address some of the other struggles that we know we have. The reality is, the season of the holidays is probably the hardest. For a lot of people. It's a big season for loneliness, depression, heartache, loss. It's actually the peak of suicides is the season of the holidays. Why is that? It's because there is genuinely great darkness in our world. But it helps to remember that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, I want to ponder on that for a minute, and I don't want to bring anybody down. I know it's Christmas Eve, right? I don't want to bring you down too much, but I want to take a moment and recognize the darkness for what it is. There is darkness in our world. Kids, I know you're looking forward to getting home and visions of sugar plums dancing in your heads. I know, and I get that, and that's okay, but just for a minute, your parents mostly probably get news on their phones, some of them maybe still on their television sets, but they know about ISIS. They know about Berlin. They know that probably know that just a couple of days ago, some people were arrested in Australia for planning a bombing tomorrow, Christmas Day. They know about the Russian ambassador in Turkey. Your parents know it's been a difficult and divisive year in our country. And even in our own community, with people hurling hatred and vitriol and anger across social media and even on our own sidewalks in our city, it's been a hard year. And it's not just out there, right? It's not just in the media. It's not just stuff we can avoid if we log on. Some of us have been affected by it personally. I know some of us have lost people this year. Some of us have lost jobs. This year, some of us maybe are worried about next year because of a recent diagnosis. And there's fear and there's darkness. And we all experience this darkness in different ways, but one thing is certain, we all experience darkness. And it's not just external stuff, right? It's not just the media. It's not just the news and the things that happen out there and the things that happen to us. It actually shows us the real reality, and that is that our own hearts are dark. And that's our real problem, is that we are dark. Our emotions are dark. Our guts, our affections, the things that we long for are dark. I promise you there's somebody in here that frequents websites you shouldn't and you hate yourself for it, but you can't stop. There are people here who you hate yourself going out and getting fashion magazines, the way it makes you feel, but you do it anyway. There's people here who love to gossip, right? You just eat up talking evil about other people and their problems. And it makes you feel better about yourself. We long for things that we hate ourselves for longing for, frankly, money, substances, things, stuff. We are attracted to darkness. And if we're honest, we don't even like light. There's a verse in the Bible that says, walk in the light, just as he is in the light. And what that means, see, is that we all have secrets or addictions or shame or betrayal, right? And what do? We keep it buried. We keep it hidden. We keep it out of sight because we don't want it to see the light of day, because we're attracted to the darkness, and we like it that way. We would prefer for those things to just stay hidden because we love the darkness. We don't want to talk about those things. We're afraid of the light. Now, that's not strange. It's a normal human experience, and we all can relate to what I just said, all of us. So you're not weird. And some of you are thinking, come on now, preacher. That's what they called me. I used to be at a church in Tennessee, and they called me preacher. It was shortened, preacher. You gotta say it like that. But I know some of you are thinking, come on, preacher, it's Christmas Eve. We came here to hear something encouraging. Don't bring me down. And I get that. But here's the thing that we've got to know. Unless we recognize that we're in the darkness right now, unless we recognize that we love the darkness, you don't need good news. There is no good news for you. You got it all figured out, right? I got nothing to give you. But if you will recognize the reality that you love the darkness, that you're walking in the darkness, then there is good news, because the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and that light is Jesus. All the tragedies that we've talked about, ISIS, Russia, right? All these things. All the tragedies in our world are ultimately coming under his reign. See, very bad theology. Let me tell you some really bad theology. Jesus is not in heaven waiting for you to show up. He's not. He is right now actively bringing all things under his control. Right now, creation is in rebellion against him, in the form of ISIS and bombings and assassinations and all of this, and even starting right here in our own hearts, creation is in rebellion against its king. And the promise that we have in the Bible is that he is coming back to make all things right. See, that's when we sing, O come Emmanuel, that is the longing, that is the prayer, that is what we are crying out, come, Jesus, and fix this, restore this, bring all of this rebellion under your control. And rest assured, creation's rebellion will one day certainly be put down. Jesus is the light of the world, because by him, and through him, and because of him, all darkness will be ended. But not just out there. His work begins, it starts in our hearts. See, when we understand this incredible news, when we understand that we are people who walk in darkness, who love the darkness, who are attracted to the darkness, who want to stay in the darkness, who want to keep everything in the darkness, when we understand that, and we realize that Jesus is the light, that begins to shape the things that we love. It begins to work in us. Some of us are here tonight because we love our family. I get that. Okay, I'll go grandma to church on Christmas Eve. I know. Did it for years. Some of us are here because we just love the candlelight service and the beauty and the quiet of it. And some of us are here because we love the sentimentality of Christmas. And it's just so pretty, right? But on Monday, or sometime next week, you'll return to the things that you really love, the things that really motivate your actions, the things that direct your life. And frankly, if we're honest, most of us, it comes out of the darkness in our hearts that we love. Jesus is the light, the life of men. And by the way, he knows. He knows that you're attracted to the darkness. He knows exactly what kind. He sees it. He gets it. And yet he loves you, and he wants to heal you. He is calling you to come, not to Christmas Eve candlelight service, but to him. And he wants your whole heart. There's that famous scene in the cartoon, you know, where Linus drops the blanket and he tells the story, and he lays the blanket down to speak of one who is greater than his blanket. But he might notice he picks it back up, right? And then he walks outside, and the cartoon begins to wrap up, and at the end, Linus lays his blanket down again at the base of the tree where it stays. Think about that. What is the thing that you love the most? What is the thing that you run to? What is your security blanket? The thing you run to when life is hard, maybe, to make you feel better about yourself. What is the thing you love the most? I want to ask, Jesus wants to ask you to lay that down at the foot of a different tree, the cross, where Jesus died, knowing you. This baby, it's not about a baby in a manger. Sorry, it's not. Christmas is about a king who gave his life, the baby who would grow up to die. Even knowing everything that you and I are, he died. Will you lay down that thing at the base of that tree? Now, I don't ask you that because I have to or because I want you to come back to church on the 1st or the 8th or the Sunday after that, the Sunday after. I don't. That's not why I ask you this. I ask you this because if I had a nickel for every conversation I've had with someone who pursued the darkness because they believed it would make them happy, and their life is wrecked, it is a shambles, everything is broken, they can't put everything back together again because they did what they wanted, trust me, I could retire. Retire rich. I don't ask you this because I want you to come to church every Sunday in the year. No, I ask you this because I want you so desperately to have life and light and to be willing to have your wholeness that only you can find when you lay down the things that you love at the cross. Jesus doesn't ask you this because he's some kind of Santa Claus and he's making a list and checking it twice and you want to be on the nice list. No! Stop! With this terrible theology that our church perpetuates. No! Jesus does not have a naughty and nice list. That's not the way it works. He longs for your heart, and he knows we're all on the naughty list. All of us. But yet, he wants to give us life and light and show the way out of the darkness. If you want to talk about anything, any of that, come see me. I'm here. Fill out a contact card. This Jesus who came once, who rescued us, who saved us, who calls us to come to him, that Jesus is coming back. We really believe that, to restore all things, to make all things new, and then ultimately to reign over all of it. And he asks you in the meantime to come to the tree and lay down the things that you love. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us, because Lord knows I'm like Linus and I want to hold on to the things that I love, but remind us that you're far better than those things. Be at work among us and help us to truly come to you, letting go of all of the things that we love so much. Come and reign. Amen.